once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor and praise. Come on.
hallelujah, for the rest of our days. Amen. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Somebody say, yes, Lord, yes, for the rest of our days. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. No matter what goes on, God, we have made up our mind to praise you. Amen. If that's your testimony, just go ahead and shout to the Lord on today. Amen. Lord, you're worthy. Amen. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. We welcome you to the broadcast, the Noonday Worship Service on today. We thank God for you coming in to be a part of our service on today. We know that there is a word. We know that there is a word from the Lord for you on today, coming specifically for you. So we just ask that you would get ready and prepare your heart to receive what God has to say to you on today. Let us open in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. We glorify your name on today. You are worthy, O God. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we give you, Father God, the glory, the honor, and the praise. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for being Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, O God. And we just ask, Father God, that you will have your way in this sanctuary, even as we prepare our hearts to hear the word, O God. Use the manservant, Pastor Anthony Simmons, to your glory, O God. Hallelujah. And even as we, Father God, hallelujah, get ready to hear from you, we just thank you in advance for what you're about to say to our hearts. So right now, Lord, we just ask that you will speak. Bless each person that comes, and we will continue to bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And praise God again. We thank you for joining us. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons and in the New Creation Christian Ministries Church family. We welcome you. Amen. So we're going to hear a word from the Lord right after this song. We will be hearing from our very own Pastor Anthony Simmons, and I'm excited, a sense of anticipation in your spirit about what God is going to say, because God is going to speak to you. Amen. So we're going to listen to this praise song by Marvin Sapp, and then we will here right after that, Pastor Anthony Simmons. God bless you.
I had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. Life and mercy.
the good times. Praise him. When things are going wrong. Praise him. Help me in here. Come on and pray.
Alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. For they are lively. Glory be to God. We're going to talk about that. Are you lively today? And are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Father, speak to us as we, Father God, speak your word today. Thank you for healing and deliverance and restoration in every area of life. Father God, restore joy where it's been missing. Bring back your zeal to your believers. And Father, keep watch over your sons and daughters, even in this day in which we are living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let go and let God. I simply want to talk about that. It's almost like a continuous a sermon from Sunday. Letting go and letting God. God is calling for you and I in this time to really let go and let God. And let me put that in another way. God is simply calling you and I to trust him all the more, to put faith in him all the more, to believe in him all the more. As we see the day changing and the days approaching, sometimes you and I have stepped out on faith and believed God for so many areas of life, to cover us financially, to help us as we try to raise our children. Those of us who are married, we are looking to God to keep us married. Those of us who are clergy and pastors and shepherds, under shepherds, we're looking for God to keep us in our congregations in his divine and perfect will. Those of us who do ministry, we're looking for God to just keep encouraging us. And I'm here to remind you today that when you let go and let God, and when I let go and let God, now we're moving out of his way, and we are going to see the hand of God showing up and showing out in so many situations. I'm just to the place in my life where I've just done so much, all that I can do, and I'm going to continue to do all that I can do. But when you have done your best, God will do the rest. Here we see in the book of Exodus, coming out of Genesis, Joseph is dead now. Joseph's generation of his brothers, Reuben and Simeon and Benjamin and Gad, all these have gone on to be with God, and it says that another generation rose up. The Pharaoh that was alive when Joseph did the mighty miracle, 7 years of famine and then 7 years of plenty, Joseph was so brilliant that he got the people in that land to sell everything they had so they can get food, to sell their property when they ran out of money. Then they got to the place and said, we're out of property, we're out of money, we will be your servants, just feed us. Glory be to God. Times got so hard in the land of Egypt, where the people came to Joseph in Egypt, they had all the food, all the corn, they stored it up for 7 years of plenty, so the people was at the mercy of Pharaoh, and Joseph was given rights by Pharaoh to make the decisions. And Joseph was so wise, because God had given him wisdom. He was so wise that he got to the place where so many people said, we'll be your servants, just feed us. And Joseph died off, and another Pharaoh rose up who did not know the great works that Joseph did. But the people of Joseph's lineage, the people in Joseph's family, still was being blessed. It said that they multiplied, and they were more, and they were mighty. They were increasing, and they were abundantly being blessed by God. And this new Pharaoh looked at the people of God being blessed, and he said, let's deal with them wisely, because they are more than us. they are mightier than us, and if they keep growing and hook up with our enemies, they can overtake us. So a decree goes out to kill every male child, every son, every boy from the Hebrew women. He told the midwives, if it's a boy, throw it into the water, throw it into the sea, and drown it. But if it's a girl, save it. And the Bible says that the midwives disobeyed Pharaoh and obeyed God and saved the children. I'm here to just remind you today, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings curses. We need to get to the place where we are obeying God. Lay down the sin and the weight that so easily beset you. If God has spoken a word over your life, stay with God. Let go and let God. Stop trying to figure it out. He has already worked it out. That's what faith is all about. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. God is forcing you and I in this hour to really live by faith. And when we live by faith, now God can do a mighty work in our lives. It said because they disobeyed Pharaoh, he could have killed them at any moment. He could have made their lives miserable at any moment. But the text said they feared God more than fearing Pharaoh. Who am I talking to today? Do you still fear God? I mean, not that he's going to strike you down. When I was a little boy and it used to thunder and lightning, and my mother used to say, God will strike you down when you act bad and all, and scared the living life out of me. And the thunder and the lightning used to be so strong, and she used to say, God is upset and angry. And I had a fear of God, but that was a scary kind of fear. We serve a loving God, but it should be a respect, a reverential fear for God, a healthy fear for God that he's nothing to play with. If my mother taught me one valuable lesson as a young man growing up, she said, don't play with God. We can manipulate people. We can trick and deceive each other. But I'm here to remind you not to try to manipulate or coerce or trick God. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipotent. That means he has all power. He's, glory be to God, omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all at the same time. He's God. We can never fool him. And it said, because these midwives obeyed God, he made them houses. Glory be to God. Are you looking to own a home one day or a better home? Are you looking to become a landlord or even getting your house in order? Well, when I saw that, it was more than a physical building that he showed me. He said, son, I want to give my people houses. Luther Vandross used to sing, a house is not a home. A house is not a home. That simply means you can have a house, and under that house, under the roof of that house, you can have a horrible marriage. Your house can be totally chaotic and out of order. That there can be so much nonsense going up under that roof, but on the outside it looked good in that custom-built home. He said, I want to give my people houses and homes where husbands and wives are getting along, where children are obeying their parents, where the family unit is prospering. They're sitting down at the table together, eating dinner. They're having devotionals once again. The family that prays together, stays together. Husband and wives holding hands, praying together. Children and parents coming together, praying together as a unit. God wants to bless the family. I know legislation and our politicians and the lobbyists, people are trying to somewhat change and alter the covenant of a family the way God designed it, but no weapon formed against the plan of God will be able to prosper. And as we see from the book of Exodus, Pharaoh tried to stop the plan of God and could not. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but when I was in the world, pastor, when I was in the world and doing evil, when I did good, when I snuck around corners and deceived, when I was up to no good, it looked like nobody tried to stop me. As a matter of fact, my friends encouraged me to do more evil. They encouraged me how I could get away with more bad. They cheered me on what I got away with. But as I changed my life and tried to do good, all opposition rose up against me. Who am I talking to today? Have you ever tried to turn over a new leaf? Have you ever tried to walk differently? Have you ever tried to do something for the kingdom of God and help people? Have you tried to turn from your evil ways, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Have you ever tried to lay down sin? And all of a sudden, such opposition comes against you and your effort. Look at Jesus in the wilderness. He was getting ready to be sent forth to preach, heal the sick, give sight to the blind. He was going to introduce a whole new doctrine, a whole new way of believing, a whole new word that this world has never known. Jesus was about to be sent on a mission to change this world with words. God had given him a doctrine. God had given him a word that will not come back void. And before he could preach his first word, the devil tempted our Jesus. But he couldn't beat him. He couldn't stop him, and he couldn't defeat him. I said to myself, even as I prepared this brief word today, I said, God, one thing I noticed about Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the enemy did not try to kill Jesus because he could not kill him. Jesus said, I laid down my life, and I have the ability to take it back. Glory be to God. He said, nobody can take my life from me, but I have the ability and authority to lay it down and then to pick it back up again. Oh, we serve a bad God. Woo! Why would you even think about leaving a God like this who can lay his life down and pick it back up anytime he feels like it? He told his disciples, 3 days I'll lay in the grave and I'll be dead, but on the third day I'm going to rise with all power in my hand. And the enemy knew that he could not kill Jesus, but he tempted him like he's trying to tempt you and I. He tried to stop him like he's trying to stop you and I. He tried to silence Jesus like he's trying to silence you and I today. If he can't kill us because there's a protection around our lives as well, he can surely try to stop us. And the best, most effective way he can stop the believer in this hour is to get us to quit or to give up on God. That's why you must let go and you must let God. Because many believers are getting discouraged. Many saints are getting frustrated. Oh, I'm preaching to myself right about now, because this has been a discouraging season even for me as a pastor. There's been transition in our local church. People decided in this season to leave or to walk away. People decided in this season, and we are dealing with that in the reality. Yes, God has ordained for people to do a work for him. Yes, God is working in other people's lives, but I'm here to remind you and myself that things happen, and we get discouraged. We get frustrated. Some of us get fed up. But I'm here to remind you to hang in there. Let go and let God. Be willing to wait on the Lord and be of good courage and wait on God. It says in Exodus that the midwives obeyed God, and only what you do for God will last, is what I told our church on Sunday, and I'm here to remind you the same thing. Only what we do for God will last. Don't play into the enemy's deceptiveness. He'll give you a short-term blessing. And God is trying to bless the third and fourth generation and thousands of those who will come after us. It's not about trying to hook up with the right people. Please hear the Holy Ghost. In Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's around that 24th or 25th verse. It says Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you look at Exodus chapter 2, it says Moses' parents hid him. They let go and let God. They put him into the water. He did not drown, and Pharaoh's daughter took him in and housed him and mothered him and raised Moses. But when Moses got of age, he saw his brothers being beaten by an Egyptian, and he killed that Egyptian. And his other Hebrews saw Moses murdering that Egyptian. And they said, what, you're trying to lead us now? You're going to kill us also like you killed the Egyptian? And the Bible said Moses fled for his life, only trying to help people. And those same folk turned on Moses. Help us, God. God, we need help. The same folk that Moses came to deliver turned on Moses and said, now you're trying to lead us? Now you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And he knew that somebody knew his secret, and he fled for his life, and Pharaoh put out a hit on Moses. He became a fugitive because the people he tried to help turned on him. We see the spirit of assassination in our day like never before. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil take your joy. Don't let him take your dreams. Don't let him destroy your marriage or your family. Put the devil where he belongs, under your feet. The Bible says he'll make a table in the presence of your enemies. Stay with God. He's setting the table. Glory be to God. He's putting out the china. He's placing the dinnerware and the silverware on the table. He's making a feast for you. He says, I'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemy. Stay with God. Stay with God. Let go and let God. And it said that Moses was protected by God. And it's such a powerful thing to see God at work in the life of his people. Pharaoh tried to kill the male child and kill Moses, who was destined by God to deliver his people. And no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper also. I pray you are receiving this word today. That's why there should be in every believer's life a godly discontent. The Apostle Paul says, I found myself to be content in every area or every situation, but what he was saying is that you still need a hunger. You still need godly discontent, that there still should be an appetite for God and the will of God in your life. God is up to something. I said God is up to something. Pharaoh came to these midwives, and he said, why did you disobey? And they said, well, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. And I got a chuckle out of that, because the people of God are moving fast, and they're moving rapidly, and they don't have time to mess around. They ain't got time to put it off. They're writing a book right now. They're in the studio making a CD right now. They're doing the work of God right now. It's not time to put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And it said the midwives, they lied to Pharaoh. It said, no, the women of God, they move out. And by the time we get to them, they already delivered the baby. And we don't have time to destroy God's seed. My old pastor, Bishop Hilliard, used to always say, if you save a man, you save a seed. If you save a seed, you can save a family. If you save a family, you can take the neighborhood. If you can bring a neighborhood to God, you can take the city. So when you save a man, when you save that sperm, when you save that seed, you are doing something powerful for God. Yes, women are important, but Pharaoh tried to keep the women alive because God knows that man carries the seed. And he said, replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. But the enemy right now is even trying to confuse so many men about their sexuality so they cannot bring forth babies into this world. And there are going to be some unborn people that God destined to be in this world if men continue to be confused about their sexuality. And God is saying to you and I, we need to help our men. We need to pray for our men. We need to cover and pray for our sons and our husbands. We need to protect our uncles and our nephews. We need to pray for men. Sisters, I hope you hear me. Mothers, I pray that you hear me. Girls, I pray that you hear the word of God. Pray for men. Pray for these boys. Yes, women need prayer too. Yes, girls need prayer too. But we can see, even through the Bible, men have been targeted by the devil. And I'm just so glad that we are letting go and letting God on today. Another point that I need to make as I bring this to a close. We need confidence and we need courage like never before. We need confidence and we need courage like never before. As I was looking at this text, Pastor, I thought about Peter and John and the first church, the disciples, when they flogged them and they put them in prison and they beat them. And they said, don't preach anymore in this name, the name of Jesus. And Peter, unlike these midwives, told, glory be to God, Caesar and his men, should we obey you or should we obey God? And that was a bold statement because they could have killed Peter on the spot with that response. But he was so bold, he said, is it good to obey God or man? He said, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to preach in the name of Jesus. And that's why you and I are here today, because Peter preached. And the first sermon, 3,000 souls got saved. Another 2,000 or 3,000 got saved the next time he taught. And millions and thousands and thousands and thousands of souls have been coming to Christ ever since. You and I have a lifetime to complete our assignment. But there's a spirit of assassination on our assignment. Sometimes it saddens me as I bring this to a close. It saddens me what our president has gone through for 5 or 6 years. He's still asking permission, and he's almost pleading for them to just pass some of his initiatives. He's a brilliant man. He's very smart. He's very bright. Some of his ideas, I'm sure, will work. Some of his ideas and his politics will work if they implement, if they come into agreement. He has some great ideas to get this country moving forward. He has some wonderful plans of how we can get out of debt and allow this next generation to receive blessings. But he has faced such opposition. Oh, racism is an ugly thing. It's being exposed by God. It's still present in our day. It's an ugly thing. And we see our president having such a hard way to go. He has about 2 or 3 more years left, and he's still wanting to put some of his initiatives in motion. And I pray that God will unite our politicians so we can move this great country forward. But the spirit of Herod in Jesus' day tried to take out Jesus. The spirit of Pharaoh in Pharaoh day tried to take out Moses. What's happening today? God is telling you and I to walk by faith and not by sight. He already knew we'd be facing the kind of challenges that we're facing. He already knew that divorces would be over 50%. He knew the high school dropout rate would be increasing in the times in which we're living. God knew that many people would still be stuck in poverty and many people would have a hard way to go just trying to make ends meet. God knew that sickness and disease and HIV and AIDS and mental illnesses like autism and bipolar and mental psychological challenges of our next generation, he knew this day was coming. So our challenge today is to pray more. Our challenge today is not to bow down to the devil and the cares of this world. our challenge today is, even though it's getting harder in some situations, it's getting tougher in some situations, the Bible says that God will bless you if you stay with him. The Bible says that God will prosper you and protect you if you stay with him. The Bible declares and decrees that we'll be successful and find good success in every area of life if we meditate on the word of God day and night. It's not time to close your Bible. It's time to open it all the more. It's not time to stop going to church. It's time to go to church all the more. It's not time to leave the fellowship of believers, but hook up with your church. Hook up with other believers and pray all the more. My wife and I, we pray every day. We pray separately. We pray as a corporately, as a church, every Tuesday night. We pray for each other. We try to cover each other. And I'm here to remind you, you have to pray for your children. You have to pray for your marriages. You have to let go and let God and pray for this nation. If you're without a job, pray for God to put your resume at the top of the stack. If you need housing, pray for God's favor to open a door that no man can shut, to give you favor with the landlord, favor with the housing committee, to put the right amount of money in your hand for the down payment, or the month and a half rent payment, or the lease, or the mortgage. If you need an automobile, pray for God to give you favor. No money down. With bad credit, they'll still let you drive the car off the lot. Who am I talking to today? You're afraid to go to the showroom. You're afraid to go to the dealer. Ain't no harm in asking. My wife and I got our first house, and she sat across from that loan officer. We had bad credit. We had messed up our credit. We messed up in our younger life, made some bad decisions. But she sat there, and I heard her. She said, Mr. Underwriter, Mr. Mortgage Man, we want to do business with you. We want to mortgage through your company. And if you don't give us a mortgage, I believe that there's somebody out there that will. But we really want to do business with you. And he thought about it. You should have saw the look on his face. He said, I'll get back to you. The next thing I know, we were signing all those closing papers. Y'all know at the closing, you got to sign all those papers. Nobody can read all that ink. That's why you need an attorney there with you. Know what you're signing. But we've been in that house almost 15 years later because my wife had that confidence and courage that I'm talking about you needing to need today. As I bring this to a close, we really got to let go and let God. I remember when my daughter was being born, and my daughter was born. My wife worked at Merrill Lynch as an SA. She used to trade stocks and do all that financial consultant stuff. And she got pregnant with our daughter, Kayla, and she left work on maternity leave. And I think she stayed home, I don't know, about 6 months or so. And when she came back, they had given her position to another guy. And my wife and I saw an injustice and the kind of money and position that was destined for her. We thought the enemy got the best of her. But God knew that that time would come. He knew that we would taste that bitter pill. And somehow he still made a way out of no way. He still provided for us in that season, on maternity leave, or even when she wasn't making the kind of money back then she was making. And our daughter will be 15 years old this month. And sometimes I look back, I don't know how God works stuff out. But as I look back over my life, and I can pray you look back over your life, there are seasons he brought you through, and you don't know how you got through them. There's so many things I can't explain through words of how God brought me and my wife and my family through certain situations. But I'm here to remind you to let go and let God. Trust him all the more. Pastor, I am done. In the name of Jesus, let go and let God. We got to trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let go and let God. Amen. Thank God for such a powerful word on today to remind us that God, when we can't, God can. Amen. And we just thank God for his grace being sufficient for us during everything that we have to go through, that we, if we would just let go and let him have his way, that he will get the glory out of every single situation. Pastor Emily, thank you so much for releasing such a powerful word on today. Honey, I'm sure that there are people that say, you know what, I need prayer. Will you pray for me, Pastor? So we're going to ask you, I want to give it back to you, to ask you to pray and to also open up the altar to lead those to salvation. Somebody needs to be saved on today, but also to pray for those who are here, those who are listening to the archive, that they will have the ability and the wisdom to know when to let go and to let God have his way.
Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you, it all starts with salvation. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 comes to Jesus by night. He was a rabbi. Pastor, I'm getting some feedback. Hallelujah. Pastor, hallelujah. To God be all the glory. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus by night. And he says to Jesus, I know you're sent from God. No man can do what you do in the natural. I've never seen this done before. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus said, told him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus' question to Jesus was, how can I enter again into my mother's womb? And Jesus was not referring in the natural, but supernaturally, we as Christians believe that we can be born again by confessing with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of the living God and believing in our heart that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to save us from all of our sins. When we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was sent by God to die for our sins, the Bible says we are saved. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's simply believing that Jesus came to this earth. He lived a real life. He died a real death. But on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand and is right now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he's going to come a second time, Advent, for all of his children, all of his believers. And it's going to be a new earth, a new heaven. And you and I will have heaven as our home for the rest of our lives. That means for eternity, forever and ever and ever, infinity, we will be with God in Jesus. So just say this with me if you've never confessed this. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I receive you today as my personal Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my life, make me over, forgive me of all my sins, known and unknown. I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and I believe that you died for my sins. Now, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I receive you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, you are saved. You are born again. Find yourself going to church on Sunday in a good, loving, word-based church and allow a pastor to disciple you, to shepherd you, to teach you now how to be a Christian and to teach you how to walk circumspectly of that new salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, Father God, we pray for those. There are so many frustrated, so many are discouraged, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I am aware that some people don't know how to let go and let God. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to let go and let you. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. God, help that person right now to believe all the more when the warfare is increasing, when it looks like what could go wrong is going wrong, when it looks like the whole weight of the world is on the believer's shoulder. Father God, help them to let go and let you. Lord God, we give our marriages to you. God, we give our children to you. God, we give our money problems to you. God, we even give these bodies to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, help us not to worry about sickness or disease, but let us let go and let God, because you are a healer. So I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for that person who is right now sick in their body, that you give them the ability to let go and let God, that they can come to you and ask to heal their body through prayer. That person has gone through a divorce, that they can come to you, God, and get peace, which surpasses all understanding. That person, Lord, that need a job or financial increase, in the name of Jesus, who fallen behind on their mortgage payments, who have fallen behind on their rent payment, who have fallen behind on their car note, who have fallen behind in their bills, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them in the name of Jesus. Give them a financial miracle, financial breakthrough. Cancel debt in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I give your sons and your daughters to you. Everybody looking this way for prayer. Lord, minister to their heart and mind. Speak to their spirit right now in the name of Jesus. God, have your way with every life. Have your way and control every situation. Rebuke the hand of the devourer. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Let go of God's people in the name of Jesus. Father, so we give your people to you. And we say, Lord, protect them, prosper them, and keep them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we pray that you receive that prayer on today. And again, if you got saved, please contact us at powerintheword1@yahoo.com or by way of Facebook. And Pastor Anthony and I will be glad to give you information on your new walk with Christ. We thank God for everybody coming to be in the fellowship on today. We pray that God will bless your day continually even as you go down from this place. Come and visit us. We will not be in Bible study on Wednesdays until further notice. Amen. We are on hiatus. Amen. Until further notice while God does what he's doing that Wednesday night time. And we ask that you come and worship with us on Sunday mornings. Amen. Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock a.m. That's New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. If you know someone in the New Jersey area that is looking for a church home, or if you are looking for a church home, come out and worship God with us, and we will be more than happy to have you be a part of our family. And we thank God for you. If you want to sow seeds into this ministry, you can do so by sending a check to New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, or going over to our website, nccmonline.org, and you can hit the donations button on our website to be a blessing to this ministry. To this church. Connect with us on Facebook, New Creation Christian Ministries on Facebook, and also myself, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Pastor Anthony is not on Facebook. Amen. He's not on Facebook. So I am the representative for the church on Facebook, and we just thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Go down from this place, but never from his presence. We're going to play Come the Man, the Joy of the Lord. Pastor Emily, I don't know if you had anything else to add before we go, before we leave the sanctuary.
No, I have nothing. I just pray. I'm not on Facebook, but you can see my face if you come to Elizabeth. As my wife said, our 11 a.m. service, God has been moving mightily over in our church. So we just thank God for you. Continue to press for these Wednesday midday services, because I believe that God is going to continue to bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.